Against All Odds is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, and you must be 21 or older. All right, welcome to Against All Odds, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousins out, coming to you on a Monday morning. Yeah, Mikey Meatballs fiddling with the knobs. Babyface Joel Solomon is producing this mess. And joining me, as always, every Monday and four times a week, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, a degenerate trifecta, Harry, Brother Brian, Darren, the parlay kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
Hey, Sal.
What's going on, buddy?
Oh, boy, another emotional up and down sports weekend. So much to get to. Let's start off with a positive, the degenerate trifecta, the aforementioned trifecta, my wizards, my gurus, my barons, my overlords. I mentioned them before, didn't I? Coming off a killer Shark Tank. This is the very last segment of Friday's podcast. They give their best bets for the weekend. Let's preview them. Harry, albeit shirtless, picked the Vikings to win. We're going to go over that in a minute. Plus 152. He took his shirt off. He did the thing with the chains. And sure enough, they won in what was likely the game of the year, no matter what happens the rest of the way. Yeah. Brother Bry, Steelers, +1.5. Nice job by you. Looked like they were going to make it a little close there. That was stupid.
Yeah, but, a little nerve-wracking there.
And in the parlay, kid, 10-1 odds. Dustin Poirier to win in nice the third day. Round over Michael Chandler. Unbelievable. Nice job, parlay kid. And I think you were in the car. That was a way to do it.
Yeah, well, yeah, I actually was getting, like I said, I really, in that situation, was just going by your text messaging back and forth in the group with then, you know, I get the occasionally like, you know, holy, you know what? And then I'm thinking,
wow, this is something. Is
what just happened? And then it was good news. So I hate to say it, but I've yet, because I was traveling, I've yet to see the fight.
Really?
I've seen some highlights and stuff, but like the full fight, I've yet to see. I'm looking forward to seeing it. But, you know, Poirier is our guy. That is our guy in MMA. And I obviously get a little lucky there, but
I don't know what his record is since appearing on the podcast, but it's pretty damn good, Bry. And I hope he notices that. I mean, that's not a coincidence. I don't believe in coincidences. Hey, prop quiz winner. You're not going to be laughing at this, Bry. Scott Perkins with 6 right. Now, we don't know Scott. 6 is very good. I think I got 3. Harry, you got 5. Scott wins and then wrote a letter saying that this is his third gold cap. He loves the show. And Mikey Meatball says, "Can we do it? Can we do anything else for this guy?" And the answer is no. He has 3. He's got to wear them like championship belts, like a heavyweight champ in 3 divisions.
True.
Scott's our guy from Massachusetts.
Oh, that's right. That's right. There you go. All right. Scott's got 3. By the way, like 190 people joined this week. It's not like 8 people are joining and he's winning every other week. This is very weird.
Yeah.
Someone asked you, Bry, $100 or a gold cap. And I don't even think you hesitated. You said you would rather have the gold cap, right?
Chris H. was asking us that. Of course, I'd rather have the gold cap. I mean, I drop $100 on like 20 different games on Sundays. So, that's fine.
But
yeah,
I
like that parlay. You should be wearing yours, Sal, because Darren and Harry are both wearing their gold caps.
Okay, I didn't think it went well with the red. So, you know, I'm always conscious of my fashion choices here. Brian, I did believe that you said $100. I actually think you would give up one of your children for a gold cap. Not both, but I think one for your. But then I looked. I don't know. Did you even join this week?
I think I was low on the list, right?
This week? You did? Because I didn't see your name. I looked through, did you come in as who knows? Was that your screen name?
That wasn't. I might not have put Brother Bry this week, I guess. But I just put Brian in there, but I thought I only got like 2.
It's tough. It's not easy. Anyway, speaking of not easy, it's time to deep dive into the collectively crushed soul of the degenerate trifecta in a segment we hate to call Bet Aches.
When a bet makes you sick and you make the wrong pick, it's a bet ache. It's a bet ache. It's a bet ache.
All right, my bet ache, UCLA money line. I did one of these dumb ass parlays, Georgia, Weili Zhang, and UCLA paid -192. One of my special terrible money line parlays. Georgia easy, Zhang even easier, wins by submission, dominated the fight. Now I have 19 point UCLA to win, just to beat Arizona. 3-6, garbage team. Cal beat them by 18. Oregon and Utah crushed them recently. Shouldn't be close. They're down 14-0 early. Great. Still favored, though, by the way. Down 14-0. They tie it up. Then they're up 28-24 in the fourth. Charbonnet has over 180 yards rushing. If they get the lead, if they can hold it, you know he's going to run the clock out. And then Jaden Delora throws a 17-yard pass on 4th-and-4 for a touchdown. And then Chip Kelly, the other way, goes for it. 4th-and-6 at his own 36 with 6 minutes left, and that's it. Wildcats had a field goal, and I'm doomed. Screw you, UCLA, and double screw you for not accepting my son, whose grades aren't nearly good enough for your institution. But still, you're making me pay tuition another way in the form of Moneyline parlays. That was my bet egg. Parlay kid, what did you have?
Well, mine's very easy. I didn't have to think about it. The Bills really got me. Because you know what? Whether Allen was quarterbacking or not, I like the Bills a lot this week. So I put them on a lot of different parlays. Really just money line parlays, Sal. Tied in with the Chiefs. Tied in with give me another team or two here that had some big spreads that worked out.
I loved it. I loved it all.
It was like 3 or 4 team parlays all over the place. The Bills were my only loser on like 4 different parlays. Up 27-10 late in the third, Sal. 2 minutes left in the third. They're up 27-10. Yeah. You have to think there's no way the Bills at home are losing, right? But then we see obviously the long rushing touchdown by Cook was kind of a backbreaker because it was so quick, right? Like you're able to run the ball in one play, score. Now it's a 10-point game. I still felt great at that point, though. Let's face it. I felt great still at that point. And then as it's been, the Vikings have had a lot of things go their way this season. Till next week, by the way. That's going to be that's gonna be my upset pick of the week, even though it won't be an upset because I think maybe the Cowboys
not
are
an upset.
Favorite.
Cowboys but, are favored somehow.
Which is crazy, crazy, but I do love the Cowboys next week. But we'll talk about that. But the Bills broke my heart this week, Sal. It would have been tough. Right. You know, we know some Bills fans. They had to have been devastated because for all the hype that is surrounding this team, they're like in third place in that division now.
Yeah,
right? I mean,
they are in third place. It doesn't make sense. And their quarterback is shaky all of a sudden. And, you know, even health-wise, he may be shaky. You're not know what to expect. We're going to go into that game in full detail in a minute. All right, Bri, what's your betting?
Well, I'm taking, you know, I have 2 games yesterday. So I had the Cowboys on the money line and I had the Bears on the money line. Two separate bets. And I will say, look, I live bet the Cowboys a few times yesterday. One of them I hit because I had them at like +3.5. But all other money line bets, I must have put them in like 4 different times because there was a point in that game I even said to Darren, I think once they went up a touchdown, I was like, I should have put a ton on the Cowboys. I was like, I really like them. And then they scored another touchdown. They go, they're up 14. So I have 2 teams, the Bears and the Cowboys, both up 14 in the fourth quarter. That never happens. I mean, we'll go over that at some point.
Wow.
But that never happens, let alone twice in one day. You know, and then the Bears took, the thing was the Bears blew that lead really quickly in the fourth, but then they came right back down and Fields had that long touchdown run. But then Cairo Santos, extra point, wasn't even close for the Bears.
Right.
And then the Lions come back down and score. So that was just miserable money lines to have those 2 teams on. I mean, up 14 in the fourth quarter.
What was the money line on the Lions? The Lions were 16-1 entering the fourth quarter. And the Packers must have been similar too at some point, but we'll get over that and that stat there. All right, Harry, what's your bet? This is going to be hilarious, I know.
Yeah, well, aside from miserable teams on the money line, I lost with Bryant's Raiders on the money line. But besides that, I had a $60 parlay, 10 teamer, all money, a lot of money lines to win 400. Different sports, tennis, soccer, basketball, and football. And everything came in except one yesterday. Mm-hmm. Hit my tennis. That was a really good favorite. And I had Tennessee, the Vols, -7. Tennessee Vols get me again, but this time it's basketball. -1700 against Colorado at home. On a Sunday, you know, when Colorado doesn't want to be there, and just like Tennessee will win this game, non-conference at home. Tennessee's not supposed to be, Colorado's not even supposed to be good this year. And some I forgot, and then I checked later on, about 3 hours after the game was over, figuring all my minus 1700s or minus 2000s and hoops would win. Tennessee loses. Not only lose by double digits. Colorado. Minus 1700 did me in on a 10-teamer.
I think that's probably what you get for betting college basketball in November. But I know what you mean.
We used to do it all the time in college, and minus 1700s, we weren't losing.
I know. Why not just load up on a -192 parlay? That's the way to do it, like I am. Oh, jeez. Yeah. All right. Meatballs, yeah. Play the music.
When a bet makes you stink. And you make the wrong pick, it's a bad ache. It's a bad ache. It's a bad ache.
All right, listen, we have a lot of football to recap. Then we're going to do Monday Night Football, our picks, Philly, Washington. We're going to do the game, the side, the total, the props, the first touchdown. When we return in a minute. Your first bet with Caesars Sportsbook and Casino, it's on Caesars, up to $1,250. Download the app with promo code CZRFULL and place your first bet. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get it all back as a free bet. That first bet also gives you 1,000 tier credits and 1,000 reward credits, putting you closer to the types of perks only Caesars can offer: free stays, game tickets, experiences, and more.
You must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ontario, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, and Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Ohio, and Utah, and other states where prohibited. Yes, you have to know when to stop before you start. If you have a gambling problem in Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Virginia, West Virginia, or Pennsylvania, or if you know someone who has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, or in Maryland, visit MarylandGamblingMDGamblingHelp.org, or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY. That's 467-369. Or text CONNEX to 247-247. Tennessee, call or text Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right. It was a bad beat for a lot of people, a bad egg for a lot of people, Parlay Kid included. Yeah, it was almost really, I don't know that I would have made it to this podcast if they had blown 4.5 plus 4.5, because that's what I eventually had most of my money on, Bills adjusted plus 4.5. But the Vikings went in there in the game of the year. They went 33-30 in overtime. Josh Allen ends up getting the start. That line jumped up all over the place, right? It was 3.5 most of the week, which indicated that he wasn't playing. Then it went to 7 when they announced that he was playing. Then it was 6. Then it was 4.5 when he wasn't really taking snaps before the game. It was very strange. What did this game have? It had Justin Jefferson's one-handed grab, which was one of the best catches I've ever seen.
And fourth down, by the way. Game's over if he doesn't make that catch.
Yes, fourth and long under the circumstances. Kirk Cousins then tries to sneak the ball in for a touchdown that would have given the Vikings a lead, but he was stopped. He lands like on his shoulder. Bills get the ball back on their 1 yard line, and all they have to do is get the snap correct. I guess twice, right? Probably they would have had a quarterback sneak twice because the Vikings did have a timeout. They fumble. The fumble was recovered in the end zone. Like, what? How does that even happen, that the fumble is recovered in the end zone? First of all, let's talk about that play right there, Parlay Kid. In this day and age where you could have four guys shoving your quarterback's ass to gain a yard. And those same four guys could be right there on the spot to recover the fumble. How did this play go wrong?
Well, I think the Bills have probably had success. And Allen's probably one of the best in the business at quarterback sneaking. So because of his size, he might not need the players behind him like maybe Hurts has. And Allen's been able to do it on his own. But in that situation, like you're saying, Sal, there was no reason.
Even if they don't touch him.
Not to have multiple guys behind him at that point pushing forward. Now, you also have to know this, right? As long as Allen doesn't fumble that ball will never get marked back in the end zone because it's starting in front, right? So his progress is always going to be where it needs to be. You know, even though people are like, well, it's so close, he could get sacked, he could get tackled in the end zone. As long as that snap is not bobbled, the ball is never going to be marked back in the end zone at that point. He just has
Good point.
So that was the only thing that could have happened that happened. And I know some people were saying, hey, should they have taken a safety? You can't take a safety there.
No.
Because
it was close to 40 seconds left.
Because there was still 49 seconds left in that game.
Yeah.
You know, there's no way a field goal loses you the game. Mm-hmm. You can't take a safety there. So
our friend Alec had some other ideas about a bootleg or something. I mean, this is a guy who he had a prominent job in football, and it turns out he knows nothing. I mean, you got to do that's the play. You just got to go forward. You take the snap. You complete
that's
the
it.
Snap, and just like you did
that's
60
it.
Times before that
exactly.
day. Exactly. It's not pouring rain, right? I mean, it was like cold, but just complete the snap, and you're good.
That's it.
So that's that, Parley Kid, right? So then the Vikings go ahead. And now Josh Allen, he leads us, I think it was like a 69-yard drive to set up a game-tying field goal. They definitely screwed up the Diggs play. I'm sorry, the Gabriel Davis play, Harry, for sure. And the league apologized today. And it's even worse that the clock was stopped. It wasn't like a rush to snap the ball. And, you know, it wasn't like Josh Allen spiked it. And now it's too late because the play was run. No, the clock stopped on that. They really should have done it. But everybody's saying karma, karma, karma. He still got it. They still got in field goal range from like the 9-yard line, right? So they might have gotten there anyway. But that sucked for sure for the Vikings for a minute, right, Harry?
Yes, definitely. I mean, it looked like that was going to be, you know, look, everything that went in that game was insane. That was a great, I mean, whether you had money on it, didn't have money on it, you're just a fan of the NFL. That game was a great game, by far the game of the year. And yeah, it came down to a couple things down there. And then, she probably should have been ruled not a catch, of course. But, you know, with the chaos that was going on, I can understand that. But what just Josh Allen he didn't see Patrick Peterson, and that was that.
Yeah, so, well, then that now we get to the overtime, and yeah, so they kick a field goal, they tie it, and then the Vikings go ahead. Boy, they got, so that my plus 4.5, honestly, I was like pacing around, like, this really sucks. What are the chances? Honestly, Parley Kid, they're up 17 going into the late in the third, is that
late
what it was?
Late third, with like 2 minutes left in the third.
All right, yeah, but how about up 10 with a few minutes left? How do you blow a plus 4.5? The only way is if you go to overtime. I think Jefferson got him down to the two, and I was like biting my hands off.
By the way, that down to the two, how about, I'm just saying, how about that pass from Cousins to get to put it between both defenders and put it at the two? Now, they couldn't punch it in.
Hmm.
They had to kick a field goal.
Thank
but
God.
Still, it was enough.
Oh, you must, Jesus Christ. Well, you must have been, I mean, considering we were going back
you
and forth
been
on text,
yourself.
Though, when they got down to the two, you must have been going nuts.
You know, I was really like, I was honestly thinking about it. I'm like, all right, every podcast, I'm going to just pretend that I'm still gambling, but I really just have to quit. Like, I'll pretend for the next 6 weeks or so before, you know, I'll lick my chops and get back on the horse there. But I was really thinking. And so then Allen goes down and throws another interception to Patrick Peterson. And that's that. The Bills, like Parley Kid said, dropped to third place. The Vikings have now won 7 in a row, all by one score. Jefferson is dynamite, 193 yards and a touchdown. Does anyone want to join Harry and take the Vikings to win the NFC? No.
Really? Nobody?
No.
No.
Okay. Wow.
Are you even paying?
I think, by the way, Darren, you've made so many points last year, and I think you were correct on saying that, you know, Cooper Kupp should have been the MVP. You know, just not the most, the best offensive player. And you look at his numbers last year, and you look at what he's done. He went out with an injury yesterday, and the team has no offense whatsoever. And the only offense they've had all season is Ben Cooper Kupp. And you look at what Justin Jefferson did yesterday, not only just the catch, but just the game itself, to do what he needed to do to put that team in a position win.
Mm-hmm.
Please, you know, isn't it time now that, you know, isn't it time that Justin Jefferson definitely deserves to be talked about, not just best offensive play, but MVP, because of what Kupp did last year and what he's doing this year?
Well, but Tyreek Hill is probably going to have more yards than Justin Jefferson, right? So, and where is he on the board? He's actually ahead. He's at 50-1. But Harry, you say all this with such bravado. How much money do you have on the Vikings at 12-1 to win the Super Bowl? How much do you have on Justin Jefferson at 80-1 to win MVP?
I have over $100 on the Vikings to win the Super Bowl at 22-1.
Okay. All right. Well, good for you then. I didn't know. So let's look at that MVP right there. We'll go into this more in depth tomorrow. Patrick Mahomes now plus 140. Mm. Right. Is this the last week we see a plus in front of Patrick Mahomes? Jalen Hurts plus 280 and Josh Allen 5-1. What do you think of those, Brian?
I mean, Hurts at those odds, right? I mean, Allen screwed himself here the last 2 weeks, right? And again, I feel bad because, you know, even I know people are crapping on Allen, considering, you know, when Buffalo played the Chiefs, it was the same exact story, right? I mean, Mahomes had that interception late. But yeah, based on schedules, I don't know. I would look at Hurts though at the plus 280.
I got a guy.
But Bry, even the second half, you mentioned two games with Allen. Even the second half against Green Bay threw a pick or two and wasn't good in that game either. So it's really kind of 2.5.
Yeah. He has. So that's
got to be good too. He looks so good too. He's so big and he runs and everything. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Parlay Kid. Then I'll make a case for
my sleeper. And I don't think he should be a sleeper at this point because we saw how they operated without him. Tua's got to be in the conversation right now for MVP. I've never been a huge fan, but his numbers warrant it. The Dolphins' record with him as the quarterback warrant it. If they win that division, his numbers keep. I would jump on Tua right now, South. If you give me those odds.
7-1.
7-1. I like it. I like Tua. I think his numbers are phenomenal right now.
Mm-hmm. Sal, we've said we need to see more. We are seeing more out of Tua, and it's all productive.
I agree. I almost feel like they kept him out one too many games, right? Because it does come down to numbers in the end, and he has 18 touchdowns and 3 interceptions, which is great, the low interceptions. Like, Josh Allen has 10 picks now, so now it's like, that's rough to think.
Sure.
But Mahomes has 25 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. So that touchdown number is going to be tough to catch.
Tua's got 18 and 3. I mean, 25 and 7, I don't know. I'd stack Tua up with those numbers. I think you saw what happened to the Dolphins' offense without him. I think that almost maybe helps his case.
Here's the thing, Parlay Kid. I know it's less odds, plus 230, but that's what the Dolphins are to win the AFC East. So they would have to do that, I think, for him to get MVP. Even then, he might not. So plus 230 could be a good pick for you. What was it, Bri? 4-1 this time last week? The Dolphins just keeps getting lower and lower. Yeah. Unbelievable. All right, Babyface, go ahead. What were you going to say about this?
I mean, just back to the Vikings, I'm surprised none of you guys want to jump on with Harry. I mean, it was his pick. You said game of the year. It was his pick of the year. But, I mean, once again, Harry, it seems like a year too late sometimes. He was on Robbie Ray. Then he won. He's on the Vikings. And now, maybe they're going to win. And that's what Angie says. He was a year too late, you know?
Oh, wow. Interesting.
He was a year too late.
But she said that, Harry?
She might have. By the way, also.
Remind Harry who Angie is, Babyface.
On Shark Tank, I did give it out at plus 152. But also, if you were betting the game on Sunday morning, by the way, if you were taking the Vikings on the money line, you probably got plus 252. Huh. Probably got another $100.
Probably, but you didn't like it as much once they announced Allen. You didn't. You're kidding.
I liked it just the same. Just the same.
Oh, come on.
Really did.
Well, does that bother you guys? I mean, Harry, it's not like Harry, I will say Harry didn't shove that in their face after
everything he does bothers me.
Does that bother you in general when people are like, I told you
to take
this. I told you to take this. And it's like, look, I mean, for the Vikings to have won that game, I mean, the odds were 1,000 to 1 for them to win at the end of that game, right? With the final,
they had them dead to rights. Exactly. They did. The defense is playing good.
I didn't stick it to you guys.
No, you didn't at all. And it had really nothing to do. It had nothing to do with that. It was more some when you have people who tell you like, "Oh, you I told you you should have taken that."
Yeah, right.
And you know what, Brian? The Cousins sneaking it to get the touchdown, and he didn't get in. What else are you supposed to do? You're supposed to do that, right? You're supposed to do that play. He's supposed to get in. If somehow he can't, like, things get jumbled up at the line, which they kind of did. He did all he could, and he didn't get in. And it would have been fine, even if the Vikings lost that game, it would have been fine because they proved who they could play with anybody. And then to get that kind of break and then pull it out, wow.
It's just so crazy because if they connect on the snap, Allen's probably second for MVP, right? Or probably plus 250 or something. Right. So
especially Sal, after you said after that running, the lumbering around, breaking tackles to get into position for Buffalo.
He's so fast.
He's great with that.
He's so, fast for a big guy. All right, Paul, we're going to have to talk about it. Packers beat the Cowboys in overtime. I mean, you and I had the Packers plus the points. We knew this wasn't going to be a cakewalk. Yep. You know who thought it was, you know, everything's a cakewalk with Mike McCarthy if you look at him. But he came in there. First of all, I got nervous three times during that game. One, when he enters the stadium with that shitting grin. Sorry, Meatballs, got to bleep that. Wearing the Vince Lombardi trench coat, right? I was like, oh, no, what is this guy doing? Is he kidding? Second, when Fox flashed 195-0, the Cowboys are, when leading by 14 or more points entering the fourth, that's when I got really nervous. I started texting people, do what you can, take the Packers. I'm not doing it. Third, Paulie Kid, when Dak's pass fell short on 4th-and-3, that was it. They went down. I mean, go ahead. I'll hear you talk about the defense took a day off, too. 207 rushing yards for Green Bay.
Well, you know, Sal, if you remember me talking about this game last week, I said exactly what I said because I thought against the Bears, the Cowboys had a hard time with their running game.
Right.
So, I, you know, the Cowboys aren't huge up front. The D-tackles are not huge, guys. They were down some linebackers yesterday. Parsons had to kind of play out of position. He wasn't coming off the edge yesterday.
Right.
Green Bay did a great job on him regardless. He had his worst game, at least just from the naked eye, as a pro. Losing Anthony Brown early in that game came back to really bite the Cowboys because they've already downed Jordan Lewis, so their secondary depth is hurting. Came back to get him big time. Yeah, so we were nervous about this game, but up 28-14, Packers have 4th-and-7 and they're going for it.
Right.
You had to like the Cowboys' chances at that point. You had to sit there in the fourth quarter. You got to love it, right? Not thinking a loss right there. Instead, there's a long touchdown pass on 4th-and-7. Now it's 28-21. We can't muster anything offensively at that point. And you knew what was going to happen. So that felt like a Cowboy loss from like 3, 4, 5 years ago. Or, the last basically 2 decades ago losses. It had that same exact feel. Like you just knew what was happening. And then, of course, look, I know you mentioned it. I've tried not to say much about it, really, regardless, because I'm not sure if the Cowboys deserve to win that game. But we get a questionable holding call goes against us. When we're driving,
we're going to get screwed in Lambeau, and then we don't get the
pass
for sure.
The PI call,
pass interference. Yeah,
I wouldn't argue about the PI call if there was no holding call, but you can't make that holding call, and then everybody hates the Cowboys, so they'll tell you to stop crying, but it just seems like that call goes against us, or it doesn't happen more often than not. We know that Cowboys fans who watch enough of the games know that, but I'm not sure if we deserve to win that game. I thought the defense, who I was raving about, I'd be a little more concerned about the defense than the offense
now. Not good.
A lot of people feel the opposite. They're kind of going off on Dak. What Dak showed yesterday, I thought the guys doing the game, Olsen and I forget who else was, they did a great job explaining some things that some of those couple interceptions were not necessarily, they might have been, but they might not have been Prescott's fault. You have receivers maybe not running their routes correctly. He's expecting them to be in a different spot So I'm not going to go nuts on Dak either.
Lamb's going off on Schultz on the sidelines, right? For miscommunication there. And then like three plays later, the next drive for the Cowboys is the same thing. Like Dak, like why? Like Lamb needs to cut this route short. Yeah, they did do a good job.
But here's the thing too, Sal. This way you can get on McCarthy is, and I said this before the play happened, but if you were going to go for it on fourth down, third down should have been a run to Pollard in that situation. Anyway, third and four, if you know you're going for it on fourth, that there's no need to have passed. If you weren't kicking the field goal there.
Was Pollard even on the field?
Yeah,
I don't even know if it was.
He was in the back
drive. He took out two plays in that.
The kid Davis was running great anyway. Okay. It doesn't even matter who was running the ball.
You know who runs great? Dak Prescott when they give him the ball. Now, somehow he ended up with four carries for 6 yards, but I think it ended up – nothing was like really designed, right? It's always like him trying to get out of like harm's way and like gaining a yard or two, right? Getting tripped up from behind. But that's the play on third and three. Like he doesn't have to be like Justin Fields who runs 13 times a game. But set it up, third and three with him taking off is good. And then just that fourth and three, just that laser. Oh, my God. I knew we were done right then. And Christian Watson's going to Canton. That was good that he emerged.
Well, they never put Diggs on him either. Like they never roll. Like it was strange that
he
Diggs
was
on Lazard.
Yeah. I liked us at 6-2. I was like, this is great. This is really good, especially considering our starters out there for most of those games. But now it's 6-3. Maybe I overreacted. Sal, we have the Colts, we have the Giants, Colts, Texans, and Jags.
And I know they run the ball like crazy. Sal, we're going 12-5. This team's going 12-5. They're beating the Vikings. Sal, just take a deep breath here. As long as
I'm worried about Barkley going for 225 on Thanksgiving.
No more injuries.
Worry about make sure you finish in third place in the division. Hey,
look,
that
game was probably the second or third biggest upset of the day after the Pookie McGee's beating the Bona Jacksons in fantasy.
You got the name wrong, but you beat me,
right?
I can't win.
Yeah,
I can't win. I can't win this league. I have a better team than the team that I had that ran through this division last year, but I cannot win.
Chefs have mathematically won two in a row. The tied 80-80, but I win the tiebreak.
Oh, amazing.
No one cares.
I think
we get 3 out of 4 with the Giants, Colts, Texans, and Jags, and then we can get to 9 wins. Then we have the Commanders, Eagles, and I think at the Titans or something.
At home against the Giants is not a guaranteed win.
12-5, Sal.
12-5.
We're going to beat the Vikings this week.
There's a lot of good running backs on those teams I just mentioned. But we have Vikings and Giants back to back.
Dak better fix his stuff, Darren.
What?
Dak better fix his stuff. His throwing. Listen, Harrison Smith will be right there ready for more picks.
Can we get that message to him, babyface? Can you do, I don't know, maybe skywriting or something? Get that. Dak, you better fix your stuff. Let's get the t-shirts made. Tampa Bay goes to 500. Tom Brady fixed his stuff. They won 21-16 in Germany, becomes the first player to win in three different countries outside of the United States. Germany won two games in London and Mexico City. Julio Jones, I mean, it looked like a typical Bucs game, right? Julio Jones caught the first touchdown, 31-yard pass. I like that Rashad White. 105 yards. Oh, I bet him. What were my odds, Parley Kid, that he would score a touchdown? And he basically took a knee at the end. Would have been close.
Yeah, I forget what you said. What were they?
17-1.
They might have found something in that kid. They might have found if they could start running the ball. Brady seemed, his arm seemed lively yesterday.
Really?
He
did.
seemed very invested in the game. He wanted it bad. Threw a bad pick, but still, good win by the Bucs yesterday.
And they're back in business. They're minus 430 to win that cruddy division.
Yeah,
I don't see how they blow it here if they stay somewhat healthy. Who the Saints are going to get? We'll go over these teams in a second. But we got to talk about Bryce Raiders. Jeff Saturday, undefeated as a head coach, 25-20. Cowher called out the Colts. Oh, went crazy. Jeff Saturday saying it was a disgrace to the coaching profession. But I can't. Paulie, kid, you're not going to like this, but I don't think we could have it both ways. I mentioned on Simmons' podcast, I go after these coaches every week.
Well,
and so then I can't get on them for putting just a Jeff Saturday in there. But I think it's also underreported how much he does for the team and how much he was consulting.
Here's
anyway.
What I would say to the guys like Cowher. How much broadcasting experience did you have before you were given a broadcasting job, Cowher? You probably went right from coaching into the booth. You got people who've gone to school, all this training for it, can't get a job because Bill Cowher gets handed a job in the broadcast booth. Keep your mouth shut regarding it. Let Saturday coach. If he doesn't do well, he'll be out. Good for Saturday for winning and shutting people up. I mean, it might be his only win, but he shut people up. Look, were you going to get mad at Saturday for taking the job? Give me a break. Give me a break about it. We don't know the details. Maybe Reggie Wayne was at. I don't know if that's come out yet, if other people were asked if they wanted the job. Saturday got it. He won a game. That's it. These other people just, they should have no commentary about it. Zero.
With you. That's a good call. Not a broadcaster. Gets a job right away. Also, had never worn a mustache before he decided to grow one. Who the hell is he? Tom Selleck should go nuts. Burt Reynolds, they should have something to say about it. 2 decades ago. Bri, back to you.
We don't have to.
Bri, we got to do it. You love this Raiders team. You tell us to bet them every week, and every week they let us down. Well, something like that.
I will ask you guys all this a serious question, because I know I was like, you know what? This was, if the Raiders were going to win a game and not be a complete embarrassment, I in all honesty, I wanted them to lose that game. At this point in time, they have to blow things up. They got to kind of start over with the, you know, even at the quarterback, whatever they have to do. But if you knew for a fact that Matt Ryan was playing yesterday, regardless how poor he's been, if you knew Matt Ryan was going to be starting, which came out of nowhere, and if you knew Jonathan Taylor was going to be playing probably more than he did.
Coin flip. Yeah.
I would have told you that the Raiders were not winning that game.
Yeah.
I think everybody just
laid it on the Jeff Saturday thing as if that was going to be it. That was such a minus. But right. But
I mean, the thing with even part of the kid said, again, a guy like Jeff Saturday, I mean, an offensive lineman, they probably know as much as anybody, in terms of football, right? And he's been around football forever. He's coming in for one game. Like, it's just like an emotional thing. Look what the Raiders did with Rich Bisaccia last year. And now he's coaching special teams again. You know, it can happen.
That's the big thing about this. This just seems like the year that they should have been having last year, the Raiders, right? Like, yes, last year they had the president had something. They had to fire him or whatever. He left. And then the Gruden stuff. And obviously the
Ruggs.
Henry Ruggs. Yeah. All that. That was terrible. That should have amounted to a 3-win season, not a team that went into Cincinnati and almost won, right? In the playoffs. Yeah. So that's what's weird. That's what's the most embarrassing part of this.
If the Raiders won 6 or 7 games last year, I would have said they were going to win like 4 or 5 games this year. But when all of a sudden you win 10 games, you win that game against the Chargers, you had a chance to win in Cincinnati in the playoffs. And I will say the biggest difference, though, for whatever reason, Gus Bradley last year in certain games had this defense playing well. They are awful. They're defensively, they are awful.
You can't pressure. Well,
you got the touchdown. Yeah. You got the touchdown from Adams to take the lead. And then you had to feel like they actually were going to probably win that game. Then the fumble happened by the Colts. And how the Raiders don't fall on that was unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
The game could have been it.
Yeah.
How do you not? 3 guys right there, they don't fall on it. Colts fall on it somehow, get it some way after it's jumbled around.
That was terrible.
3 plays later, Colts are in the end zone. Game's over.
You're right. They need to fix their stuff. Babyface, what were you going to say about this game?
Dallas does.
I do feel bad for Brian, but honestly, I don't think we're putting Jeff Saturday in charge of enough. I mean, let this guy host the Emmys, put him in charge of Twitter, let him be the mayor of Oswego. I need more Jeff Saturday.
Although that is true.
I like it. Put him in charge of the Space Force. Yeah, let him do it all.
Well, the funny thing was, you guys saw, I mean, obviously that was a big thing last week, right? When Jeff Saturday 2 weeks ago tweeted out like the Raiders offense looks horrible and now he's coaching against them. It's fitting what happened. I'm a little upset yesterday. They started talking about how the Raiders have maybe moved away. Maybe they're thinking they're going to go away from Carr and they're focusing on C.J. Stroud. I don't know.
His numbers weren't that bad, Carr. I know if you want. I don't know.
Foster Moreau should have caught the touchdown. I still think Carr is in the category of – I still personally think he's in the category of the Cousins and – the Staffords, maybe.
Oh, he's fine. Well, maybe, we're gonna see three quarterbacks make the playoffs.
Maybe a hair below, but like the biggest problem with all these guys is just consistency. And Carr has not been able to consistently win. That's his problem.
Mm-hmm. I will say this: I'm gonna give out the wuss of the week.
The wuss of the week definitely
goes to Carr. Post game interview again, more tears, more crying, more blaming other players, and crying.
Who did he blame?
I don't think he blamed anyone. I think he just said football.
He didn't blame
tough.
Anyone in particular, but he's blaming how people aren't strong enough within their unit, within their team, not good enough, not getting it done, not getting it.
It's an emotional game, himself. Harry. It's emotional.
Emotional, right? Yeah, of course, emotional game, but still also enough of the tears.
All right.
Enough. Get it
Harry
done.
Harry played probably one game of football in his career, like one game of soccer.
He thinks he can just take his shirt off and flash his movies around. That's it. All right. Yeah, so that's the Raiders for
you. We played in the snow in Oswego during December. I don't think you guys did down in downstate. Sorry.
Definitely affected his brain. He's still got still frostbitten there. All right. So there you go. That's the charge. Yeah, I do. To put a pin in it here, like, I wonder if just betting wise, like the Panthers, they get rid of McCaffrey and then they go on. Did they win the next game or did they keep that game close against Atlanta?
They won the next game, right? They beat Tampa.
When you think a team is giving up, that's maybe ways you should pounce on them, right? Oh, the Colts, Jeff Saturday. And now, and like you said, Matt Ryan, I think he has four come from behind wins this year. Unbelievable. All right, we'll roll through these. We talked about the Lions rallying to beat the Bears 31-30. Campbell's first ever road win and back-to-back for the first time since 2020. Fields 147 yards rushing, two touchdowns. Harry, you want to apologize? Everything's going right for you. You were absolutely wrong about Justin Fields. I was wrong too, but you were absolutely wrong.
Well, you didn't include his pick six that cost him the game.
I didn't, but you were making it like he didn't belong in the league. Yeah. And now he's going to
Listen, he's been tremendous. You know what? I didn't think he'd be able to win games with his legs with, like you said, 12, 13 rushes a game. And he's unbelievable. Once he gets through that line, he's gone for 30, if not more. But in time, give it a little time. Teams are going to figure out how to defense this. Right now, it's kind of difficult because he continues to run. Chunks of yards. No. I think teams are going to be able to figure it out in time. It's not yet.
I think what's more likely is he'll get injured, unfortunately, running 13 times a game. I think that's more likely.
Probably very possible, too. Yeah.
But I wouldn't blame him. I mean, Goff went on a 91-yard touchdown drive to win at the end, and they missed the extra point, as the Parlay Kid pointed out, or Brian. Lions were 16-1, like I said, entering the fourth quarter. Chiefs stay on top the AFC. West beating the Jags 27-17. Harry and I had the Jags plus 9.5. That doesn't work. They didn't play great. They had three turnovers. Juju Smith-Schuster's down. But Mahomes, 331, four touchdowns, MVP favorite. And I think the big news is Tony, right? Kadarius Tony is... could maybe be a superstar for them, Parley Kid. Who knows how this works out?
He might be. The Jags were lucky just to even lose by 10. I mean, I know Harry, that was his pick of the day yesterday.
Right.
Didn't
right.
come through. But actually,
my pick of the day was under in the Denver, Tennessee game.
Well, no, but you hyped that. You hyped that. We know you hyped that up.
I bought it to 11 and a half.
Well, you gave it out. Is that what you gave it out as to everybody?
No,
when you talked about that game.
I said buy it to 10. I said buy it to 10.
But either way, that game was lucky. They were lucky that game Chiefs should have won. I felt like the Chiefs should have won that game by three.
Chiefs got
plus
so many calls
scores
by the penalties
yesterday.
Penalties
and
refs
Tony's
again.
Another Chiefs, weapon for them. Chiefs. He's another weapon.
Yeah. They're going to be fine, the Chiefs. The Jaguars are going to be the Jags, and that's that.
Jags missed two field goals, Darren, and also got a touchdown called back, which was a bullet, was a fake touch, fake penalty, which
was
also
what was it? Illegal man downfield? Like, that's an easy call. What was it? Was that the call?
No, there was also one that was a holding call, which they didn't call, which was a phantom call.
Yeah, the Chiefs.
That cost them times.
Maybe they should have covered, but the Chiefs were just toying with them.
Yeah,
they didn't
I know,
care.
I know, but still.
Yeah. Babyface, what do you think of this, Harry? Really, it's enough already, right?
It sounds like Derek Carr after the game last night.
A lot of crying. Yeah. Get him a microphone. Exactly.
Not actual tears here. I'm like,
I don't know. Let's check. Good Let's job. Get closer nice. Up. Giants 7-2. They beat the Texans 24-16. The Texans looked like they could get it together. They could have been in this game, and Houston couldn't stop Barkley though. 35. You think Barkley's happy about getting 35 carries in a game like he should have? You know, they should have been over in this third quarter. 35 carries, 152 yards, touchdown. They did enough to win. And this was the first time they won without falling behind, which is weird. Mm. And so, again, God, 7-2. And then the Lions next week for the Giants? Unbelievable. Mm. Just gets better and better for them. So there you go. We'll go over playoff odds tomorrow. Titans beat the Broncos 17-10. Another Sooz Fest. Good job, Harry. You had the under. Broncos actually blew a 10-point lead. Yeah. Titans with 17 unanswered. Tannehill returns from an ankle injury. Henry, how did they win this game? I didn't really have it. He gained 53 yards. How did they win this game?
I thought the defense, I mean, they made a few plays through the air down the field. Tannehill made a couple. But I thought defensively, this Titans team, good. Really good.
Brian,
Over
the last month defensively, and they showed it even last week in the loss against Kansas City.
Yeah, it seemed like they got to Wilson every time he dropped back.
Yeah. There you go. So, yeah, he had 6 sacks overall. The Titans and Steelers, this is Bry's pick, win 20-10 over the Saints. Watt returns. Najee Harris, this is big game, 20 rushes, 99 yards. Babyface, you happy with this team? I feel like it's going to be the same thing. You're going to struggle to get 20 every week, but maybe you're in it, maybe you're not.
Well, it shows how much Watt makes the difference because they can get off the field sometimes on third down. Yep. There were at least a couple times where it was just imperative that they got off and Watt helped. But hats off to Mike Tomlin. He's now beaten every all 31 NFL teams. And, just a balanced attack. I really think if Watt had been healthy all year, they'd be right in the thick of it. But
Interesting. Now
they're just in the thick of the first round pick.
Yeah, well, you're going to get stuck at maybe 6 wins would be bad because Damashek saying over 5.5 is for sure something you should be interested in. But, yeah, Andy Dalton gets picked twice. I don't know what's going on with Jameis Winston. He's ready to play, right? This is just a choice.
It certainly looks like it.
This has been a choice, I think, for the last 3 weeks. So Andy Dalton picked off twice. They lose 20-10. Dolphins win 39-17. I hate this. Why was this line? Everybody loves the Dolphins. Everything the parlay kid said about Tua is true. And they were only 3, and I got spooked by the line. I ended up taking the Browns, and that game was over in the late second quarter. Yep. 39-17. The Dolphins win sole possession of first place. What they didn't punt once, parlay kid? I don't think they punted once in this game.
They probably didn't, Sal. Yeah, you're right.
Tua, 285, 3 touchdowns. Hill, not even a great game. 5 catches for 44. But I think it was Wilson and Mostert that did a lot of the damage on the ground. And Dolphins are in good shape. We talked about what to do. Bet Tua for MVP. Bet them plus 230 to win the division. And now I think the Browns are in trouble here. They were anyway. But Watson can come back in week 13. I think we were rooting for the wrong thing, brother Bri. It would have been more fun if Deshaun Watson blew their chances versus he comes in with 9 losses or something, right?
Yeah, that would have been fun. Yeah. I mean, you know, they're done now. They came out and they scored right away. It looked like they were moving the ball a decent amount. It's just that the Dolphins just were picking up. It felt like they were getting 20 yards every play. I mean,
Dolphins are very scary because we even said with Tua in there, he's going to get the yards. He's going to get the production from the wide receivers. The only problem, though, with Miami was their running game. And Sal, you just mentioned, great job by the running attack by Miami. Makes them awful scary now in the AFC.
Yeah, well, the Niners gave them their running back. The Niners, we have 7 running backs who could do some damage. And here's Jeff Wilson and Raheem Mostert. Cardinals beat the Rams 27-17. Wow. I mean,
that game was terrible.
It really was. He outdueled John Wolford. The Rams, I think, are done at 3-6, Bry. I don't have any hope for this team, and especially now with Cooper Kupp with the ankle injury. That was where, if they were getting any offense, that's where it was coming from, right?
I was trying to think how Wolford won that game, right, a few years ago, that big game right before the playoffs or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. But Yeah, because he'd not.
Yeah.
You could see Parlay Kid and I were talking about this yesterday. If he was like a taller quarterback, maybe you could see how he was a backup. But like he seems like a really small guy, and at times it looked like he was struggling to throw the ball yesterday. So it's like it's hard to imagine that he's somebody's backup.
Colt McCoy, Trace McSorley, it didn't matter. Like they kind of ran that offense well. I'm not going to be one of those people and say, oh, they're better than Kyler Murray, because we get embarrassed when we say things like that. But 27-17, card still alive. Now, this was McVay had owned Kingsbury, right? So now we have to go back on this? Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's hard. Mm-hmm. Sunday night, Chargers, 49ers, 22-16. The Niners win. Oh, they just avoid the cover. Elijah Mitchell falls, slips at the two-yard line. I think the Chargers, this might be off by a few yards. I think they only had 163 total yards after the opening drive.
That sounds right.
49ers, nuts. boring Jimmy G, and lucky to be along for the ride, it seems, with him. I don't think he threw downfield once, Parlay Kid. I think he hit Ayuk for an 11-yard pass on third and 10. But does it matter?
It benefited me fantasy-wise, but like the lack of Samuel, right? I just don't understand. Like, this guy was so good last year. He seems like they just don't feel like that. They're winning games without getting him involved, though. So I guess whatever it is, but
boy. They're not a ton of Kittle either.
It is unbelievable.
Kittle, I think, is just breaking down a little bit, but. Yeah. But Samuel, I don't get it. Like, that guy should I would be much more scared of San Francisco if they really, between McCaffrey and if he was really involved in this offense, I feel like they'd be unstoppable. But
so, yeah, so here's
win.
The thing.
They did win.
In the offseason, we heard about this is bull crap. You know, Sam Debo's like, I should be paid as a running back too. And now it's like, all right, you're good. We don't have to hand to you. But yeah, you're right. Like, Debo and Kittle, fantasy-wise, like, you didn't – they're going to get only a few touches because that's all they really need in this offense. You got Elijah Mitchell, and you got, obviously, McCaffrey. You got the running game taken care of. All right, they got him like a carry, I think, Samuel, in there, just because he's coming back from injury. But then on – you know, you got Ayuk. You got Samuel. Like I said, you got Kittle. You got that guy Jennings, right? Like, it just seems – there's so many – weapons or so many different options, but Jimmy G just he makes it so boring. He doesn't throw down, even like the crossing routes aren't there. Maybe they just played good tough defense. I know Khalil Mack was good. Maybe we got to give the Chargers more credit, but it kind of seems like this is what their offense is for the 49ers. All right, Monday Night Football, let's get to it. Philly 11 and 43 and a half. I've not checked this in about an hour or so let's see if this number state is about the same. It is 11. It is 43 now. It's gone down. Rematch from week three. The Eagles went into RFK. Yes, I'm going to call it RFK. And won 24-8. Hurts had three touchdowns in that game. Devonta Smith went nuts. Carson Wentz was the quarterback. He didn't do much except get sacked. I think he was put down nine times. This time, Taylor Heinicke, who's been an upgrade for this offense.
Yep.
Last five games for the Commanders decided by five or less points. They have the second best rush defense in the league. The Eagles only 72 yards rushing in that first matchup. This, I think, look, are they the best team in the NFC? Probably, but they're also beatable. It was 14-14 at half against the worst team in football last Thursday when they were in Houston. The Commies are going to be in this till the end. Missed field goal by Jake Elliott. Down go the undefeated Eagles. Not only am I taking the 11, I'm taking Washington 4-1 odds, 21-19 final. Give me Washington to win plus 400. Brother Bry, you're on with me. Come on, don't just take the points. Let's have some fun here.
Yeah, I like Washington. Well, you know, it's interesting, Sal. It's interesting. I do like, I would maybe sprinkle a little 4-1. It's not the worst for a division game. But I would say Heinicke, though, so I'm taking the 11, but Heinicke usually does a good job of making enough plays to keep these games close, right? He's 8-2-1 against the spread with him as starting games, so, right? He won two starts so far this season and then blew the game against the Vikings last week. Earlier in the season, right, when they blew the game to the Commanders when we were watching the game in Brooklyn. But double-digit favorites for division rivals is tough to back.
Yeah.
And Washington has played good defensively recently. So I think it's going to be low, you know, I think it's going to be low scoring, which division games, again, usually are. And because of that, I'm going to take the 11 points.
What's the weather? I'll check the weather, Parlay Kid. You can bolster our –
I think it's going to be Washington plus 11. Should be nice.
Otherwise. Okay. You're taking them plus 11 as well.
Yeah, just like what Brian said. I think these divisional games, these rivalry matchups, I think 11 is just too high. Heineke's a gamer. I think he can keep them in the game. I don't love them winning this game, Washington, but I do think, one, like you said, though, sometimes teams are just might play flat. I don't see the Eagles, even though they might be due for a loss, I don't think this is the one because I still think they're going to get up because it's a Monday night game. They're going to be excited. So I still think they win this game. But Heineke, say what you want, but he, like I said, he's a gamer. He keeps them in games. He makes enough plays. He seems to have a better connection with McLaurin than maybe Wentz did. I think this game is, I'll say like 30-20 Eagles win.
Oh,
and we barely get a cover. I do like the over in this game too. So
interesting. All right, Harry, you like the over too, but Philly is your pick, right?
Yeah, but I will take that score from Parlay Kid if it lands 50 points, though, because I really do favor the over. I think Philly went through the motions last Thursday in that game against Houston, but now they're home here, and they handled Washington fairly easily the first time. So I'm going to go over 43.5. Eagles are third in the NFL in total offense, 7 of their 8 games. They've scored 24 points or more. Hurts in that game against the Washington was fantastic. He had 340 yards. He had 3 touchdown passes in that first meeting. Smith, Sally mentioned, Smith and Brown combined to torch Washington that Sunday for 240 yards and 2 touchdowns. And on the Washington side, Brian Robinson, Curtis Samuel, Terry McLaurin seem to be better with Heineke behind center. So I'm going to go, I'm going to bank on Washington to show some offense against Philly here, unlike they did in the first matchup. I'm going to go over 43.5, guys.
All right. Low of 29 tonight. That's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. All right. I do like an under, but my prop is going to be Heineke to have a pass over 33.5 yards. That's minus 115. Curtis Samuel went for 49 last game, 42 versus the Colts. He had one, I think it was to McLaurin, 37, Green Bay a couple of weeks ago. That's my pick. Heineke, longest pass over 33.5. And, you know, if they're in trouble, if they're down a lot, you might see you might see him drop back 27 times in the second half. So there you go. Over 33.5. Brother Bri, what's your prop?
I'm going to go with Hurts under 41.5 yards rushing at minus 119. The number is a little too high for me. You know, Hurts has thrown the ball dramatically better this year, but he hasn't really relied on his legs. He only has 60 yards rushing in total in his last 3 games. He's gone under the total in 5 of his last 6 games, at least under 41.5. I'm assuming he's gone under in 5 of those 6 because the number's usually in the 40s. He'll still run, but not as much as you think. I'm going to go under 41.5.
I got to stay away. I liked it. I got to stay away from this prop. I did this with Lamar last week, and I got cried. I think I did it 3 weeks ago, too. All right, but those numbers bear out. Parlay Kid, you like Devonta Smith over 4.5 receptions. Yeah, had a good game first time they played, right?
Yeah, a while back, maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago, I hit a couple Smith props. He's averaging 5 catches a game, so we got over 4.5 at plus 110. I'm getting a plus number on it. And if anything, he's been really lackluster his last 3 weeks. He's due for a breakout game here. Even though he's had 12 receptions in his last 3 games, he can't even total 100 yards in his last 3 games combined. So I think he's due for a big game. Like you said, Sal, 8 catches for close to 170 yards in game 1 against this team. I think he gets involved in the action early and often. He goes over the 4.5 catches, and we get him at plus 110 for that.
By the way, I believe this was the mega lock of the week last week, right? Didn't our own Megan Connolly from Megan Fun of Sports go over 4.5 receptions for her Thursday night pick? I think he had, what did he have, 2?
He had 2.
He had 2 actually, early.
2 for 22 last
week.
That
was it. Also, we proposed to her that reverse of the Harry bet we made a few years ago, that she gains 100 pounds. And she said she ran it by her husband. He did not say no. So we could be in good shape with that. I mean, she won't be in good shape. I think she'll see her marathon times go up as a result.
I'll keep sending her chocolate.
There you go. You do your part, Harry. All right. There you go. Harry, and what's your pick? What's your prop here?
I'm going to take Terry McLaurin. Over 51.5 receiving yards at minus 117. I think him and Heineke have a nice rapport together. Had a 56 last week versus Minnesota. Had 113 the week before that. And actually, McLaurin, for the season, has gone over 51 receiving yards in 7 of his 9. And that includes the game against Philadelphia earlier this season, the first matchup, where he had over 100.
All right. Let's I'll pile on to the McLaurin stuff in a second. Let's go first touchdown, which really should only listen to Harry here. So, did you hit one last week? Or you did Monday or Thursday?
I think I hit Monday. Monday.
Yeah.
I hit Monday all right. Likely.
So it's all Eagles. It's Miles Sanders plus 440 favorite. AJ Brown plus 525. Jalen Hurts plus 600 and Devonta Smith plus 600, which makes sense. They're an 11-point favorite. Brian Robinson's the first commander at plus 675. I will take Harry's Terry McLaurin. I'll see him and raise him a first touchdown at 10-1. He has 7 red zone targets this year. Second to Curtis Samuel is 8. 6 for 102 last time they played the Eagles earlier in the year. He's due for a touchdown. He had 1 in the opener versus the Jags and then 1 against the Packers a few weeks ago. I think 10-1 is a nice number for McLaurin. Big upset tonight begins with the Buckeye alum scoring first, 10-1. Parley Kid, you like another Washington receiver here.
Yeah, Jahan Dotson is back in the lineup tonight. Hopefully he's in there early. 4 touchdowns in 4 games played this year. So at 15-1, we're finally maybe getting some decent odds for a player that was finding the end zone early in his young career here with like I said, he had 4 in his first 4 games. He's back. Let's take a flyer on him at 15-1.
There you go. All right. And brother Bry, AJ Brown, pretty safe, pretty good.
Yeah, it's safe. Look, I need to win one of these, at least for my ego. but yeah, plus 525. AJ Brown's been fantastic. And he's clearly the man for Hurts. I mean, he has 5 touchdown receptions in his last 3 games. This is also my EP pick, I think, plus 128 for him to score a touchdown tonight. I think he does, so I'm going to jump on him to have the first.
All right. And Harry, we're leading up to the main event. Take it away.
I'm going to take Jalen Hurts at plus 650. Look, I went quarterback last Thursday when Mariota didn't work out so well, but maybe Monday night here, it'll be different, and I can get number six, first touchdown of the year. And speaking of 6, that's how many rushing touchdowns Jalen Hurts has this season, but he's overdue. He hasn't had a rushing TD where he had 2 against Arizona all the way back on October 9th. So I think he emerges here, and he has had the first touchdown of the game 2 times this season. That was one of them. So give me Hurts at plus 650.
All right. There you go. Award-winning first touchdown picks. Just listen to Harry. Jalen Hurts, that's the way to go. Plus 650.
Plus he's my plus salad. Plus 165, he is my extra points video pick that's from the hot tub. I made a return to the hot tub. Anytime touchdown at plus 165 tonight.
Is that a sentence?
Those are good odds. I like it.
Yeah.
Not bad. All right, there you go. Plus 165 Hurts the score, and Harry has him plus, was it 550 or 650?
650.
For first touchdown. 650. I just read it, and I can't remember. All right, let's take another quick break. We'll talk college, and then we'll get out of here. All right, college football, interesting weekend. Michigan, number 3, Michigan thumped Nebraska, 34-3. Number 8, Alabama beat Mississippi. Number 14, Mississippi, 30-24. But it didn't really matter in terms of the playoffs because LSU beat Arkansas 13-10. Bumper pool, 5 tackles, nice job. But not enough. LSU is now in the SEC championship game, right, Harry? So Alabama's out of this. They don't have a shot. They have no shot. Okay. And TCU stayed undefeated, beating Texas as a 7-point underdog, 17-10. They won outright. Washington beat Oregon 37-34. So the Pac-12 is become interesting all of a sudden. I think USC could really only be the only likely participant in the playoffs at this point. We're going to go all over it all tomorrow. I do want to, should we just take Georgia to win the whole thing, Bry, at minus 115? What are we doing? What are we afraid of anymore? Parlay it with Warnock over Herschel Walker in the runoff. We'll get plus 145 or something.
I think you're right, Sal. I mean, we saw Georgia and Michigan last year. Yeah. Ohio State, I guess, but not, you know.
Georgia, Ohio State, will it be a 4-point favorite? More?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends what happens and what would happen in the semifinal. But yeah, they might even be more. Yeah.
We'll go over the playoff odds tomorrow. Ohio State plus 240, Michigan 7-1. As far as Heisman goes, Stroud plus 150, Hooker plus 70, 375, Corum plus 550, May 6-1, Duggan 40-1. I guess that wasn't an offensive.
May's numbers are better than Stroud's, just saying.
Yeah.
They have one loss.
I don't know how it's going to be. We'll work it out. For what it's worth, Tennessee is going to be the second best team in the SEC, right? They crushed LSU, and if Georgia takes care of business there, they'll be, without a question, the second best team in the SEC.
And now TCU, you know, getting to play, having to play Baylor next. Baylor got steamrolled by Kansas State, so now the path for TCU. There's some light at the end of the tunnel for TCU to get there.
There is.
I still think they have to win, right?
I'm not saying that they couldn't win all the way out.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Now it's pretty much those two games, right? They'll have two tough games.
2.5-point favorite at Baylor this week, and then the Big 12 championship. Right.
Yeah.
They should take care of business that.
Yeah. I mean, then the Big 12
championship, right? Yeah.
But after beating Texas as 7-point underdog, I mean,
undefeated, great. Give them the four. Talking about this like it matters, like Georgia's going to lose to any of these four seeds. But yeah,
if TCU does win out, and then say Michigan does get rolled by Ohio State, and TCU moves on, and they're in, and Tennessee's going to be back in. No way the committee wants Tennessee to be four, right? Though, but to play Georgia again, like that kind of the same thing from last year.
They want to avoid it if they can.
Tennessee would jump to three. And TCU would say at four, so TCU gets Georgia, right?
You would think that's how it's going to go. But yeah, you can't knock TCU out with no losses, right? But with one loss, you start looking at the Michigan, Ohio State loser, and you start looking at Tennessee.
But it did happen first time ever there was the this whole college playoff. The Big 12 got thumped. They got pumped out of it.
Right.
Ohio State in, and Ohio State was the four, and Ohio State actually went on to win it that year, too.
And it's a down conference, too.
Right.
All right. We'll go over it more in depth tomorrow morning. We'll recap the Monday night football game. We're going to have, I think the National American League Rookie of the Year will be announced. We'll talk about that. We'll go over NFL playoff odds, all that stuff. And that's it. Harry, let's make a fantasy trade. Now people can't say I'm taking advantage of you because we have the same record. I got Kamara and Pollard. You have Metcalf, Gabriel Davis. What do you want to do?
I don't want Kamara. He's garbage.
Okay.
but who'd you say? Who's the other one?
Pollard's the other one.
I like Pollard.
All right.
I like Pollard.
What do you want to give me?
Pollard for Davis?
Let me think about it.
Okay.
Might not be bad. Parlay Kid, I like yours. I just have Olave in like two other leagues. So.
Yeah, I haven't pulled that off yet. Nah. I don't know. That trade's still available.
Pollard's the man. I got to remind you.
Harry would need a lot of help to make the playoffs.
I know.
He'd need points, right? Average 140 points.
What's the record that gets you in here?
What are we playing? 15 games?
We go head to head.
There's
tiebreakers first.
Six and four.
It's points, Harry. It is. Because you're going to be double tied. Yes, it is. It's been a few years.
If we tie for the playoffs,
it's points. It's points. Always points because we run into a problem with the guys on the same record.
Harry. It's points.
No, it's been
this
points.
This league.
I think
this
9-6, Parlay.
I'm out.
Just win.
2-point conversions don't count. I'm out.
You are out because you're going to win six games. That's why you're out.
Third and fourth are going to be 6-4. So, yeah.
I needed some of these teams to lose, these 6-4 teams. So, I think 9-6. Is that what we said? 15?
Man. Yeah, 9-6 you're in.
I'm in trouble. I got to run the table.
I got five in a row. Same with me.
Me too. No good. No good. Anyway, about this. All right, that'll do it for another episode of Against All Odds. For Mikey Meatballs, for Babyface Joel Solomon, the Degenerate Trifecta, I'm Sal saying so long and happy handicapping.